Proverbs chapter 29. I'd like to start reading verse 11 today. Proverbs 29:11. If you're there, say amen. A fool uttereth all his mind. You ever heard folks say, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You better hold on to it, friend. You may done about give it all away now. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in, until afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. It does matter about leadership this morning. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Why? Because they need guidance. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. You ought to underline that verse in your Bible. That's a promise, by the way. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight in thy soul. Verse 18, we'd like to preach out of this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God today. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this time together today. Lord, I pray that you'd use me to be a blessing to the people of God this morning. Help us in the Word of God. Lord, I pray for our nation, her president and vice president. I pray, God, for our community, our homes, and our church this morning. All of our preacher friends that stand in today to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus. I pray, God, you'd hide us behind the cross and help us in preaching now. In Jesus' name I pray, and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach out of verse 18. The Bible says, for there is no vision, the people perish. And I want to preach on this simple subject this morning on 2020 vision. 2020 vision. I looked that phrase up. I'd heard it all my life. I heard people, a lot of old-timers, that leave out of eye doctor, say, well, how was you diagnosed? How was you doing? They said, oh, it's great. I got 2020 vision. I wonder what in the world that meant. I wear glasses. Mine's a long way from 2020 vision. But it means to see something in clarity. See something in clarity. I've noticed, though, when I put my eyes on, I see things a lot clearer. This morning, could we put our eyes on and have a 2020 vision? Vision is so important. Young people, you need to have a dream. But if you don't have a plan with your dream, then it only becomes a wish. So you need to have a dream and a plan. You need to have vision. We live in a day and an hour when God's people needs to have a clarity of the vision that God wants us to have. You see, Helen Keller, we all know of that little girl that was born blind. She was once asked this question. What would be worse than being born blind? She simply replied and said, to have sight without vision. To have sight without vision. We all know of the spectacle that's been built in Florida in Disneyland. There, Walt Disney, the man that seen that, the inventor of that place, he had a great vision for it. When Disney opened, they had the grand opening. Mr. Walton had died. Miss Walton was on the stage, and as they gave her the key and said, if Mr. Walt Disney could see this and was living today, what would he say? And she simply said, he's seen it, and sat down. You see, you must have a vision to do things. Men and women throughout our Bible were great visionaries. I'm reminded of this text where it says, without vision, the people perish. Or where there is no vision. Where? Where there is no vision, the people perish. I read this outline. There was an old country church. Upon the door it said, where there is no vision, the people perish. They came in and out every Sunday. They got accustomed to the things of God and God's building. It started to deteriorate. And the sign over that door where it said, where there's no vision, the people perish, the devil fell over it. And now the sign above their door simply said this, here there is no vision, the people perish. I want to say today and for 2020 vision, oh, we need a vision of Him. I'm telling you, the Word will not forsake you. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 1, one of the greatest texts in the Bible. In our 2020 vision, we need a vision for Him. You'll notice the writer of Hebrews said, wherefore? Why would he start this text in Hebrews 12, the first word, wherefore? Because preceding chapter 12 is Hebrews 11 on the great chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see in verse 1, we look unto Him, but we see wherefore there are individuals that preceded us. The individuals that preceded us, wherefore, who is He talking about? Look in Hebrews 11, our faith chapter. You'll notice first of all that you'll see Abel worshipped by faith in verse 4. Of chapter 11. Then you'll notice that in verse 5, Enoch walked by faith. Can I tell you, it's still right to walk with God today. We see this wherefore. He's talking about preceding characters, these individuals that preceded us. They worship by faith. They walk by faith. Verse 5, can you imagine Noah? He worked by faith. It had never rained. God told him to build an ark. Now I want to ask y'all something this morning. What happened to the families that didn't get on the ark? The man of God preached for 120 years and warned them a flood was coming. But only 8 people were saved on that ark. I ask you today, people go that was not on the ark. I ask this question. Those that are not in Christ, the safety, where do you think you'll wind up one day? There's a hell to gain and a hell to shun. And this morning in this preceding chapter, we're looking unto Him. We see the individuals that preceded us. Abel worshipped by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Noah worked by faith. But Abraham, he looked for a city where the builder and maker was God. He was interested in something that didn't have USA stamped upon it. He was looking for something that didn't have China or Mexico stamped upon it. He was looking for a city. So by faith, Abraham watched. Let me tell you, there's a better day coming, child of God. And in our 2020 vision, we must get a vision for Him. The individuals that preceded us in chapter 12. But now, if you would, look also in verse 1 of chapter 12. Not only the individuals that preceded us, but the instructions that prepare us. Jesus, He put in Hebrews 12 that the Christian life is a race. It is a race. One that wins a race must be disciplined, must be dedicated. And here the writer of Hebrews said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That sin, that main sin, that is our problem. There are some things that won't bother me, but they'll bother me. Some things that don't bother me, they'll bother you. You know, people here today, they're fighting addictions. They're fighting many things in their life. And here the Bible's teaching us, you've heard a lot, way to get through your addiction is to avoid triggers. You know why you need to avoid triggers in your addiction? Because the devil will pull the trigger on you. Amen? And so he says, let us the sin. If drinking is my problem, I need to rewrap back in the store. If smoking weed is my problem, I need to quit hanging with those that are smoking weed. If gambling is my problem, I need to stay out of the lottery line. Amen. If loose women is my problem, I need to stay at home with my wife and guard myself. Somebody say amen. So this sin, watch what it says, so easily beset us. That ought to let us know that we're no match for sin by ourselves. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And here we see the individuals that preceded us, but now the instructions that prepare us. You'll notice this in verse 1. There must be a casting. Let us lay aside. Put it to the side. You ever notice the things that you struggle in your life, when you keep them out in the open, you see it and it brings a trigger point to you? Do away with those things. Get them out of sight. If the internet is your problem, then put things in that will guide you and help you. If things in this world is your problem, set those things aside. Don't let them be in front of you every day. So here we see these instructions that prepare us. There's a casting. But then there's also a confessing. Let us lay aside every weight and watch this. And the sin which just so easily beset us. Did you know that sin will break your fellowship with God? Did you know that a person must walk in this life confessing sin unto God? I'm not looking for a preacher or a pope to confess my sins. I come unto the Lord Jesus and I confess my sins. For He says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There must be a casting. Then there has to be a confessing. God, I'm sorry. I want this out of my life. Let me tell you, when you're weighted down with sin, it's hard to run the race. You don't enjoy running the race. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the good Spirit of God would help you lighten your load this morning? Oh, the instructions that prepare us. There's a casting, there's a confessing, but there's a continuing. The Bible said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I have issues with patience. Does anybody else have patience? When I stumble and fall, it tears me apart. But I've had to realize there's nobody in this world that is perfect. But Christ is perfect. And He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. I'm glad we've got somebody to look to this morning that is perfect. In Hebrews 11, these great cloud of witnesses, that does not mean that they're looking down upon us. But it means that they left a witness before us. Edgar Thomas. Anybody ever hear that old man of God preach years ago? I don't see it. Brother Edgar Thomas. Anybody ever heard that man of God preach? I listened to him preach for about 45 minutes last night from the 70s. My goodness, I'm glad that God has allowed my path to run into some people that left a great cloud of witness. Are you leaving anything behind to be a cloud of witness? You'll notice, thirdly, 2020 vision, looking unto Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The individuals that preceded us, the instructions that prepare us. But look in verse 2, the inspiration that is provided for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This race that we're running, there must be a focus. I read last night, years ago, there was a world record set. A man obtained running a mile in 4 minutes. A few months later, it was a man that ran a mile and beat him by some few seconds. They cut all these two men together. They were going to have a national race, and they started running. And the man that had won the race first, he kept hearing people thinking, where is Jones? Where is Jones? He got to thinking, where is he? Where is he in my race? He got to the finish line and he turned around to find him and he passed him on the other side and beat him at the finish line. You can't run this race. You see, in this race, when we look back, it brings defeat. When we look at self, it brings doubt. Before I got up here this morning, I got to thinking in the realms of my flesh, how incapable I am to get up and preach to you this morning. When I live here in the capabilities of my flesh, how can I live the Christian life this week? When I look behind me, I find defeat. When I look at me, I find doubt. When I look at the circumstances, I find discouragement. When I look at the crowd, I find deceivement. But when I look ahead and look unto Jesus, I find a declaration. I can finish this race. I can finish this race. our 2020 vision, we need to look at Him. And not only do we need a vision to look at Him, we need a vision here. Here, our church. Acts chapter 2. If you want to know how the early church operated, you don't have to buy a 4-step manual. Read your Bible. Acts chapter 2. The early church came together with those disciples. 120 people in this local church. How did they do things? Can I tell you that it is a great privilege to come to the house of God at Liberty Baptist Church? It's a privilege. It's an honor. Not only do we need a vision for Him, we need a vision for here. Look at this local church. Acts 2, verse 41. They were saved people. Saved people. Then they that gladly received His Word. You got to receive the Word into your heart. They were baptized. The same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. They were saved people. But look in verse 41. They were separated people. The Bible said, and they were added unto them. Who's them? That's the local assembly, the local church, where Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. I'm not going to become a preacher of doom and gloom, but I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you what this Bible says. God intended for the church to look like never intended that. Now you look on the average stage in the average Baptist church, they look like a bunch of Babylonians with their skinny jeans and electric guitars banging and a knocking, and nobody's preaching doctrine. But honey, let me tell you, the King James Bible is still the Word of God. You men need to teach you young men how to shake hands and grab a hold of your hand when they grab it. Look people in the eye, say, how you doing? I told Renee coming in from Tennessee this week, if there's ever been a time and a generation where old school ethics and standards needs to be taught, it is in this day and this hour. We went to a place. We was coming back to the motel. I told her, now I said, would you like a bite to eat before we go? She said, yeah, I would like a burrito. Somebody sent me in right there. We pulled in Taco Bell and I got out and I said, ma'am, I'll have one burrito. She told me it's $2.07. A young lady, real nice, good spirit. She welcomed me in when I came in and I put two $1 bills and a quarter on the counter. She hit the register and she goes to a blank and to a panic. And she called the manager. And he come over there with his little skinny jeans on. Somebody say amen. His little hairdo. And he pulled his iPhone. She said, I've hit the wrong button and I don't know how to give the chance. And he pulls out his iPhone and he said, I don't know. I said, hold on. I said, hon, get the pennies out. And that child reached in that drawer and got a handful of pennies. I said, no, 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 no. It's 207. What I owe you. I gave you 225. Now do this. Get one penny. That's 208, 29, 210. Get you another dime. Now that's 220. Get me a nickel and we even. That's 225. You know what she said? That's amazing. That's amazing. If there's anybody that needs to be teaching old school ethics and standards and to the Word of God, it is in this generation with it. '20 vision. We need a vision of Him. We need a vision for here. Look at this early church. Now I'll close Acts 2. You'll notice verse 43. Let me say something right here on 41 before I get gone. Not only saved people, but separated people. We ought to look like Christians. We ought to dress our kids like Christians. Don't let them look at anything on the TV and the video games. We ought to protect them. Help them. You've got to raise them and guide them. We're not better than nobody else. We're just different. We're supposed to have moral policies. Some of you come to the house of God and smoke you a doobie. You won't even wait till you get home. You fired up by the red light. Standards. Separated people. Live for God. Hope still right. God is interested in your happy. He wants you happy. Because if you'll get holy, you'll get joyful. Saved people, separated people. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfast people. I appreciate you being at church this morning. I want to say something. If you miss next Sunday, the next Sunday becomes so easy. And before long, you're plumb out of the local church. I was down at pews this morning at families that started missing. Now they're not in church. Their children don't have the chance that your children do in this world. Steadfast people. You ought not live a life of, well, we've got something better to do today. Sunday is the Lord's day. Let me encourage you to get you here and your family here. Have discipline about your life. Trust God. Let Him do big things for you and your family. But do it God's way. Because that's the only way that's going to work is God's way. Steadfast people. Verse 43. They were sanctified people. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know, I'm convinced more today the reason we don't see more people saved because there's no holy living. We become desensitized to sin. There's an iPhone stuck in all of our children's face. Now they become so desensitized to the things that used to bother us when we were young people. And so it's filtered not down, but it's filtered up to the mom and daddy. We become desensitized. You know I'm preaching right. You know I'm preaching right. America don't blush anymore. The church don't blush, and it's a shame. We should be sanctified people, set aside for the service of the Lord, honoring Him, loving Him. Verse 44,
They were single people. Watch this. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You do need each other. You need a church when your family's hurting. You need people to support you and help you and pray for you and be there with you. There were no big ones, no little ones. They were single-minded people. Verse 45, they were sacrificial people. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Verse 46, they were spiritual people. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And look, they were singing people, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We need to have a vision for Him, but we need to have a vision for here. When these young children come and give in the offering, shouldn't that remind you of how important that is to your family? How important it is to our church? A lot of people say, well, them young kids screaming. Well, take them out yonder and tear their tail up. Bring them back in, set them down. Thank God some of them's a screaming. I'm glad they're here to be a screaming. You ought to go to some places I preach at. There's not a sound, no play. They run all their young'uns off. Man, I'll get on the pews and play trucks with them. Need a vision for Him. Need a vision for here. Lastly, we need a vision for the harvest. I'm glad Ava got saved Friday. I'm glad your children have been saved. There's some of us, our children hadn't been saved. And we need them to be saved. Why, preacher? Because I believe this Bible teaches there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's one way to heaven, that's by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way there. Real quickly, this verse, I'm done preaching. John 4:32. Jesus is with His disciples. Preaching on 2020 vision. A vision for Him. A vision for here. A vision for the harvest, the fields. The Bible said in John 4:32, He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white, already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's a field where you work, where I work, where you shop, where I shop. Are we telling people about Jesus? Are we inviting them to church? Are we living a life in front of them that they know that God's living in us? 2020 vision. Last Sunday night, we played a DVD of our church 25 years ago. Well, things have changed, haven't they? There are some things that will never change. And that's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to encourage you today.
to have 2020 vision with God and go for God this year. Trust God with everything that you've got. Everything that you are. I preached last Sunday on making your mind up. Thank God you made your mind up this morning. Keep it made up. Serve God. And He will bless you. He'll give you things money cannot buy. And I appreciate Him today, and I appreciate you being here this morning. Let's let our ushers come today. I don't feel labored to give an invitation. I'll ask Miss